this project or this item before you is a demonstration discretionary grant that, because we have that Safe Streets for All action plan in place, we are now eligible to apply for a demonstration grant to start deploying technology on a test bed corridor. That test bed corridor we've already identified as the Highway 29.
So this is Austin Mount. He is the CEO of the Emerald Coast Regional Council. You don't hear that name an awful lot on this show. What you hear is their subsidiary organization, the Transportation Planning Organization, or TPO, which is a board of people made up of all the county commissioners in Baldwin County, Escambia County, Santa Rosa County, plus representatives from the city councils in Gulf Breeze and Milton and Pensacola and Century. And just, there's a lot of people on this board. And what they handle is sort of comprehensive overarching strategy for solving traffic issues, you know, transportation planning in the three-county area. Joining us now by phone, we have the CEO, Austin Mount. Austin, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, I think for the first time.
Hey, thanks. Good morning to you, and good morning to everyone.
Yeah, great to have you.
Hopefully, I'll stay awake.
So let's. This is a kind of an interesting project. I had two things I want to talk with you about. One is this Vision Zero. We'll get to that in a second. The other is this test bed project for US 29. The way I understand it is there's a bunch of grant money that we're being able to get access to that is going to let us turn a massive section of US 29 into a test project for trying to achieve pedestrian and vehicle safety through a variety of technology measures. Do I sort of have it right?
Yeah, you absolutely do. There's a lot more there's a lot more context, you know, a lot more information to share about that as to how we got to this point and why we're here. You know, I think I can hopefully summarize it in an easy to understand for the public's sake. The Highway 29 corridor that we have, stemming from basically from the interstate to downtown, like to North Palafox area, is really one of our highest fatality corridors that we have. And it's interesting to we haven't really seen much in the way of advocacy as what we have seen with Cervantes Street. You know, we have a lot of really prominent fatality incidents over there, but Highway 29 is proven to be in that W Street area a really high fatality corridor. And so we've identified that technology is a way to help identify what is happening and how do we solve these fatalities on a broader scale basis.
And when you're talking about fatalities, it's not so much, my understanding, it's not so much drivers as it is bicyclists and pedestrians. And, you know, speed in that corridor, of course, is very high, and people cross it at night, not where there's a crosswalk, all kinds of places like they do everywhere in Escambia County. But that is a particularly dangerous area for them. And so the test bed area is what, like from 10 down to Brent is what you're thinking about. And this is something different from the advanced traffic management system that's going to be that kind of currently operates, but they're building a center for it over on W Street to control traffic lights and facilitate traffic flow. This is that, but a lot more than that. Is that right?
Yeah, it basically stems off of that initiative. So as we talk about, and this is something we hear a lot from our public, is everybody has your own segments of the corridors that you drive. And we see and we hear how congested and how much time people sit at a traffic signal. And so across the board, across the entire region, we've really put a lot of focus, and I've got to give a lot of praise to our board for steering this initiative of technology, because if we're able to boost the infrastructure that we have with accurate, efficient technology and a monitoring system that can help understand and change the signal sequencing and the signal communication and provide data back, then we can have a more efficient system. I know a lot of people that have moved here will often compare the area to other regions across the country, and we've heard that a lot. And so there are people that work behind the scenes to do exactly that, and they do a fantastic job. But we are sometimes limited in our ability to do the most efficient because of the technology that we have.
Okay.
Some of our signals have some old technology on them. Lightning, probably even last night. I haven't seen the report today, but lightning wreaks havoc on our traffic signals and the sensors that are out there, because it can wipe out a signal with just one lightning strike, and
right.
It'll fry the whole cabinet and everything in it. So it's a constant battle to keep the system up and running. So we desperately need some upgrades. And as you mentioned, the hub of it, the traffic management center, is going to be built later this year. We're going to start construction on it at the Escambia County Emergency Operations Center. And that will be the center that all of the traffic operations are housed out of for the entire area, for the whole region. And this technology project, the testbed project that we're talking about, is going to be connected into that facility. It's right there close by.
Right.
We're in partnership with the county right now to design that fiber optic connection. And so we're going to go after this grant to see if there's any opportunity to see what technology we can bring.
No, I love it. And you know, obviously that this means enhancing, for example, you know, running fiber all through there and getting everything able to be connected up, putting in sensors for all kinds of things, from cars to pedestrians, you know, to being able to manipulate the traffic to both achieve traffic efficiency and to reduce pedestrian and bicyclist danger. And, you know, ideally you get them both. Plus, I love the mention yesterday you made of there's grant money available from the Fed, surplus grant money, because nobody else is really applying for this. And we think we have an opportunity to kind of be not necessarily, but almost first in the nation kind of with the tie into the technology of the traffic center. Austin, a completely different subject, which had been the reason I wanted to talk to you this morning, is your organization is in favor of something that the state and even the federal transportation planners call Vision Zero. Vision Zero being the intended goal of having zero fatalities related to traffic, whether it is car drivers or whether it is pedestrians or bicyclists, and designing a traffic system with the comprehensive goal of hitting that zero mark. I have been very critical of Vision Zero in the past, not because I don't want to see deaths reduced, I do, but because I think that we all drive in such a way and show by our behavior and our psychology that we're not willing to embrace the impediment of transportation that Vision Zero would be. We could have Vision Zero tomorrow if we set the speed limit at 20 miles an hour and everybody obeyed it. We are clearly not willing to do that, and as a result, we accept the risk of 30 or 40,000 people a year in the U.S. die related to traffic incidents. Persuade me that I'm mistaken about Vision Zero.
Well, I think the underlying premise is what we agree on, that fatalities are unacceptable. So where we may agree or disagree on the ability to achieve Vision Zero might be different. I think everybody from who we've heard and spoken to over the years agrees that fatalities need to be stopped. We need to eliminate them. And, you know, how can we best do that? And that's a real question. And you're absolutely right. Everybody's in agreement right now as far as the state government, federal government, you know, Governor DeSantis and Secretary Perdue at DOT have a very firm commitment to zero roadway fatalities. And so we're glad to honor that at the TPO as well. And we recognize that we can't do this alone. It's a community effort in order to actually achieve Vision Zero. But our best foot forward to accomplish that is also technology. So when we start talking about the technology element, it's a multifaceted, multi-benefit element, because it'll get people more efficiently through the system. So it saves people money and time, and it will get you through the system safer as well.
You're selling me a super optimal solution. You're selling me a both sides win kind of solution. And of course, if that's the case, then I'm all in. The question I would have, because the two constraints, as I understand it, is number one, cost. obviously. And number two is efficiency of transportation flow. And what I have always perceived is the more you work to reduce fatalities, the more it's going to impede those two things. It's going to cost you a lot of money and it's going to impede traffic flow. And I'm willing to spend some money and I'm willing to spend some traffic flow efficiency in order to save lives, obviously. The unacceptable one, I would say undesirable, I'm willing to accept some risk because we accept it right now. That's where I don't quite go to the conclusions that you've got. But again, I want you to persuade me because I'd gladly be on the side that says, hey, let's save all the lives we can.
Right, right. So the way we look at it is if we assign a number, so basically going back, the Vision Zero. Vision Zero is the goal.
Okay.
Zero roadway fatalities. If we assign a number, let's say 10, we're going to say it's acceptable to for 10 people to die on our roadways. You have to look at the human element of that. You know, you're assigning people to die. You're assigning people that it's okay for 10 people to die and that's the way we look at it. You know, it's will we actually ever be able to hit 10? That's the argument. The reality of actually hitting that goal. But it's just like the goal of weight loss or a goal of saving money. If you don't have a overarching broad goal that you are striving for, but it also has to be achievable at the same point. So there's arguments on both sides of it, but our stance is zero is the only acceptable number for roadway fatalities.
Yeah, see, I guess it's that unacceptable accept, because I'm with you. 10 is not just a number. 10 is individuals with families and jobs and names and all of that. To me, it's sort of a broader philosophical question. You know, we have all kinds of things in life that carry risk, whether it's, you know, flying in a plane or jumping out of that plane or rock climbing or, you know, playing on a swing set or playing baseball or football. And all of these activities carry a level of risk. I know when I go out the door in the morning in my car, there's a risk I die that day and there's a risk my kids die that day. That's a horrible, terrible thing to contemplate, but we all engage in a behavior that makes that risk real. And again, if you can persuade me that it is cost effective and transportation efficiency and freedom effective, and there's minor cost to those things or even reasonable low level cost to those things to save most or all the lives, I'm in. But it starts to sound like the balancing act between those two values weighs too heavily on the save life side and doesn't weigh heavily enough on the other values that transportation brings to us. That's if you called it vision less, you know, or vision fewer, you know, I'm in. But the more you get towards zero, it seems to be it's going to be more expensive and more contrary to traffic flow and transportation needs in order to get there. So we probably, I'd like to say we disagree only at the extreme of the scale, but I think it sounds like we have a little bit different take in general also.
Yeah, that's totally respectful. You know, everybody has a different view on it. But as we also create a safer system, you also alleviate the number of crashes and the high injury crashes that occur as well.
I love that.
So, that's the hope. And there's many, many, many studies out there from different hospitals and community organizations about the cost of highway roadway injuries and fatalities to the taxpayer.
Agreed.
Because if you're so there's a tremendous saving as if you're making a system safer, that it saves money for the taxpayers and it saves money for the healthcare and system and everything else that stems around a community. So there's a tremendous benefit. It's not something I don't think we can actually fully debate in a morning session here.
Yeah,
we
right.
would need like a couple of days to actually go through it.
But I'm actually very open to that argument.
Yeah.
I mean, if spending money on the front end to enhance traffic safety saves us money in first responders and hospital costs and EMS transports and loss of productivity and revenue and car damage and insurance rates, You got me. I mean, I'm good. That's just smart investing. That's like investing in better schools so you don't have to build as many jails. I get that. That's good. So I'm with you on that possibility. Austin Mount, he is the CEO for the Emerald Coast Regional Council, which oversees the Transportation Planning Organization. Austin, thank you for the conversation. We'll continue it when we talk about especially more news about this US 29 project in the future. But thanks for joining me this morning. Thanks for disagreeing with me. I always appreciate that, sir.
Thank you for having me, and handshake, fist bump, and more power.
Absolutely. That's right. I love it. All right, we're
all in this together.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. We'll talk to you again soon. I appreciate it.